New Testament lesson this morning is taken from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified self with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Let's not become arrogant or make each other angry or be jealous of each other. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And now if you stand for the reading of the gospel this morning from Luke chapter 7, we'll begin in verse 36. Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. After he entered the Pharisee's home, he took his place at the table. Meanwhile, a woman from the city, a sinner, discovered that Jesus was dining in the Pharisee's house. She brought perfumed oil in a vase made of alabaster. Standing behind him at his feet and crying, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured oil on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw what was happening, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He would know that she is a sinner." Jesus replied, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher, speak," he said. "A certain lender had two debtors. One owed enough money to pay 500 people for a day's work. The other owed enough money for 50. When they couldn't pay, the lender forgave the debts of them both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the largest debt canceled." Jesus said, "You judged correctly." Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your home, you did not give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not greet me with a kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has poured perfumed oil on my feet. This is why I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, so she has shown great love. The one who is forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other table guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this person that even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of God for the people of God, and our thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to this time, Lord, of looking into your word and seeking to understand more about who you are from your word, we pray, Father, that you would open our eyes and illumine our hearts. Teach us, Lord, how we may see the world around us as you see the world around us. How we may be changed to be more like you and be transformed to be more your servants in this place. Father God, we ask that you would help us to understand the things that we need to understand to live in the way that you would have us to live. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week, when we began this series and we began talking about the art of gratitude, and we talked about the art of accepting kindness, we talked about this from the woman's perspective. We talked about this from the perspective of this woman who came in and she was trying to respond to what Jesus had done for her, for the kindness that he had shown to her. And this morning, we're going to talk about it from the other side. We're going to talk about this from Jesus' perspective and offering kindness, and what does it look like when we offer kindness? And what does it look like when other people receive kindness? We're going to talk about how that changes and shapes their lives to make them to be more Christ-like. Now, in ancient Israel, charity and goodness to others was encouraged. It was one of those things that was encouraged with sayings like, "The world consists of three things: teaching of God, service to God, and the performance of deeds of kindness." To show how this might play out a little bit, and to give an example of this, the great Rabbi Shammai was known for his wisdom and his understanding. And a man came to him one day and said, "Rabbi, I would like for you to teach me the sum total of the law in the amount of time that I can stand on one foot." Shammai looked at the man and he said, "No. Be on your way." And so the man leaves and he goes to another renowned teacher, a man named Hillel. And as he comes to Hillel, he says to him the same thing. "I'd like for you to teach me the sum total of the law in the time that I can stand on one foot." And so Hillel thinks for a moment and he replies to the man with what would be a negative expression of the golden rule. "What you do not want done to you, do not do to other people." This is the whole Torah. The rest is explanation. Now go out and learn that. As I think about these words of these two, the approach of these two rabbis and how they see the world, how they see the understanding of God's teaching and how God would teach us and how we might understand the sum total. That's an interesting phrase. The sum total, how we might understand that. It's summed up in how we treat others. It's summed up in this idea of kindness, in this idea of showing to others that we love and appreciate and respect them, and that we love and appreciate and respect them enough to want to help them become something more than what they are. That we want to help them to be transformed. That we want to help them to grow into being better people. As we come up to this particular passage and we look at that and we look at the kindness that Jesus is showing and how he's showing it, there's a writer from the 20th century. His name is Fred DeWitt Van Amberg. That's a lot of names to try to remember. I bet that kid had fits whenever he was learning to write that when he was little. But he says, "Gratitude is a currency that we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy." Gratitude is a currency and that we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy. Now think about that. Gratitude, we can spend it. Gratitude is something to be spent. Gratitude is something to be offered. Kindness and gratitude go hand in hand. That gratitude comes from the same word that we get grace and graciousness from. This idea of extending grace and graciousness to other people. But let's look at this story about how Jesus affected this woman's life. Because that's what kindness does. When you offer kindness to someone, what you're offering is change. When you offer kindness to someone, what you're offering is for them to have the opportunity to be made anew, to be transformed into something different. I remember when I was a kid in high school, I remember a particular teacher that I had. His name is Ken Holder. He taught chorus and he taught music and he taught show choir. And I didn't get to know him until my senior year because I didn't take choir or show choir or any of that stuff until I was a senior. But I got to know Ken and I got to know him pretty well while I was there. And I had the end of my senior year was kind of rough. I had some not so great times. And I was talking to him one day when I was pretty much at the end of my rope and I was about ready to say, "You know what? Just forget people, forget all of this stuff. I'm going to go be a hermit. I'm going to find a cave in the woods and I'm going to hide and I'm not coming out. Don't ask. No forwarding address, just leave me alone." I mean, I was a typical 18-year-old, overly dramatic sort of thing. And he walked up to me and he started talking to me and he helped me to get calmed down. And once he got me calmed down, he said, "You know what, Mike?" He said, "You have something, an innate quality in you that you don't realize that you have." He said, "You have something called stick-to-itiveness." He said, "Stick-to-itiveness is this bulldog-like quality you have that whenever you decide you're going to do something, whether it's good for you or bad for you, you just latch on and hang on. Right now, you're doing something that's not necessarily good for you. You should probably let go. But if you learn to use that, if you learn to take that stick-to-itiveness and you learn to apply it in the right way, and you learn to use it in the right way, you might find that it's one of the most useful things that you have as a person. And I was thankful and just glad he was listening and glad he was around, but I didn't really think about it that much that day. I was not happy. I was kind of ill about the situation. I couldn't hear him because of my circumstances. And so, it was several years later that it really sunk in. And I was going through a hard time again, and I was going through difficulty again. And as I was dealing with all of that, those words came back. Mike, you have that stick-to-itiveness. Find the good thing. Latch onto it. Over and over and over in my life, those words have rung in my ears. That kindness struck me in such a way that it changed me. It changed the way that I think about difficult situations. Because he told me that no matter what my difficult situation was, I could overcome it. At a time when people that I was going to church with weren't exactly giving me the most positive of messages. 25 years later, I still remember that. It still changes me even today when I'm having a difficult time. I still go back to that phrase. I have stick-to-itiveness. I'll get through this. But his kindness changed me. And I want to talk about the kindness that Jesus offers to this woman that changes her and how it changes her. How this kindness that's offered to this woman changes her. For one, Jesus accepted this woman before he asked her to change. In fact, he doesn't really ask her to change. He just accepts her and lets the acceptance do the changing. He lets the kindness that she's received do the changing. You know, there's a phrase that I heard in reference to the way that some churches are. Some churches think that you're supposed to behave first and then believe everything we believe and then you belong to us, right? If you learn to behave first, you believe what we believe, then you belong to us. Then you can be one of us. What Jesus is saying to this woman is, no, you already belong to me. You already belong to me. I accept you. When she walked in as a sinner, as a bad person, as somebody unclean in the eyes of the Jewish people, and she sat down, and I don't know how to do this other than just do this, but here we go. When they recline at a table, you've got a table, a triclinium that's about like this, or a typical table that's about this high, and when they sit down like this, and their feet are behind them. So as you're sitting at the table, you lean on the table like this, and you eat with your feet behind you. So this woman comes over to Jesus' feet behind him. She starts crying on his feet. She starts touching his feet. I'm sure Simon the Pharisee was going nuts. You let this dirty woman touch your feet. What are you doing? You're unclean. And you're sitting at my table unclean. Now my table's unclean. And Jesus just let her. He gave the woman a sense of belonging. He said, "You're okay with me. You're okay to be here. You're okay in this space. Welcome. Welcome." Kindness is an immeasurable means of creating community. To offer kindness to someone is to say you belong. So that's what Jesus was saying. You belong. Then you'll believe because you see what's there. And then because you believe, you'll behave, you'll change, you'll be transformed into being something, someone different than what you were. So Jesus begins by accepting her and letting that acceptance change her. But Jesus also validates this woman. He validates her humanity by allowing her to engage him in a personal way. He validates the fact that she is something other than just a sinner. that she's a human being, and she is worthy of love, and she is worthy of acceptance, and she is worthy to change in the eyes of God. That she is not beyond hope, that she is not irreparably damaged to the point that she will never be acceptable again. But Jesus says, no. You belong here. And I believe in you. I believe you can change. That simple act of allowing her to respond to him in that very personal way, sitting at his feet, pouring oil on his feet, and him not recoiling in disgust, him not freaking out in disgust, but him accepting her. Think about the people in your life that you've known, and we've all done it. I mean, we've all done it. I'm not going to stand up here and say that I haven't done it. I know I have. Think about the people in your life that you have known that you may have responded that way too. Think about what it must have been like for them to feel your rejection. Think about when you've been rejected, because we've all been rejected. We've all rejected others. The pain of knowing that you're not part of this community, the pain of knowing that you don't belong with us, the pain that you're inflicting on somebody else when you do the same to them. Jesus validated her and he engaged her in a way that said, you're mine. You're one of mine. You're a part of this group. You're one of our disciples. It's one of the things that churches do so poorly when they do this is they decide that we as a church are going to only accept those that are just like us. Everybody else can go. Well, how is everybody else going to change? I mean, stop and think about it. If they're doing something wrong, they're never going to learn to do it right if they don't see it done right. They're never going to see it done right if they don't feel like they're part of the community that is doing it right. How can they change? If they're dismissed and sent away, they'll never change. In fact, they'll do just the opposite. They'll resent the people that sent them away. But Jesus doesn't do that. He validates this woman. He says to her, you're accepted, you're loved, and you're appreciated for what you're doing. And Jesus also offers her new life. He offers her new life with this phrase, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Essentially, in that phrase, what Jesus is saying is not only do you belong, not only are you accepted, but here is an opportunity. Here is an opportunity to change. Here is an opportunity to be someone other than the sinner. There's an opportunity to live into a life that is worth having, a life that is worth living. This woman was given the chance to be a new person in that statement. Think about it. Think about the moment that you truly became a disciple of Jesus. Think about the moment that you heard that you are forgiven and it sank into your heart and it sank into your soul and it became a part of the spirit of who you are. You are forgiven. Think about the change in your life, the effect of that change. Now, think about going out and offering that change to others. Think about what it is to go out and help others to see that Jesus does that for them as well. Mark chapter 9, Jesus is teaching and he says, I assure you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, you'll be rewarded. Whoever gives a cup of water, something so simple, it's just a cup of water. See, like this one. Just a simple cup of water. There's a great reward for that. And here's the thing. The reward isn't some pie in the sky, wait until you get there kind of reward. The reward is immediate. The reward is immediate because you bring that person into community with yourself. The reward is immediate because you're changing not only them because of what they have received in your kindness, but you change yourself because you're being more Christ-like. A few years after I graduated from high school, I found out from someone that Ken Holder had died. This is a young man. He was 43 and died of cancer. At Ken's funeral, there were dozens and dozens of students and faculty. Many of his students that were there had gone on to sing on Broadway. They had gone on to be teachers of music. They had gone on to be directors of orchestras. They had gone on to play in orchestras. His life changed the lives of dozens, hundreds of people. Every one of them with a story to tell like mine. He may not have even known it. But the truth of the matter is, his kindness, his encouragement, in the moment when I needed it, helped to change me. And I'm sure it changed a lot of other people. When Jesus encounters a person and Jesus shows that acceptance to the person, it changes. It changes you and it makes you something totally different. The trick is to realize that when it changes you, that we are called as disciples, as followers of Jesus, as those who are here to emulate the things that Jesus did, it calls us to go out and affect change in the same way. It's a simple glass of water. It doesn't seem like much. But the act of kindness, the act of acceptance, the act that's wrapped up, all of the things wrapped up in that one moment of offering kindness to somebody else is transformative in a way that we may never even know or understand. So I want to encourage you to go and be agents of change. Go and be a kind people because you have a kind Lord. Kind Savior who has offered his kindness to you so that it transforms you. Go and let that transform others. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear your word. We pray that your word will change us, that it will make us something different, that it will help us to grow into being more than what we are now. We pray that your kindness that you have shown to us will be kindness that we pour out into the lives of others, kindness that's used to change those around us so that they too may go out and change the world around them. Father, may we be accepting of others and bring others into community with us as we are in community with you. And all of this we ask in the name of Jesus and for his sake, amen.